Let's turn in God's Word this morning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, the second chapter of the book of Luke. And we've already read the first 7 verses, so therefore let's read from verse number 8 and hear the Word of the Lord. So familiar, and yet we pray that as we read it, the Lord will just write it afresh on our hearts and give us new insight, new understanding, and a fresh blessing as we read about the Savior coming into this world so many years ago. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Amen. May God add a blessing to the public reading of his word. May we pray together and seek the face of God as we will come to hear his word to us today. Our gracious, eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee in our Saviour's precious name for the return of this thy day. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast ordained that one day in 7 we step aside from the things of the world, from the things that regularly take our time, and we come into the house of God. We come to sing thy praise. We come to pray together. We come to give unto thee. We come, O Lord, to hear thy word. And we have come today, Lord, for thy blessing. Lord, if we meet here without thee, then it is in vain. But we pray, O Lord, that the Spirit of God will come and meet with thy people in thy house today. We pray, O Lord, today that thou wilt write upon the hearts of every person gathered in this meeting this morning that nothing matters but salvation. Nothing matters but being right with God. Nothing matters than knowing this God who has been revealed in Scripture as a personal Savior. I pray, O Lord, this morning for those who have gone through life without Christ, for those who have gone through life neglecting the Word of God, ignoring the Word of God. We pray, O Lord, this morning, thou wilt put a claim upon their heart. Lord, thou wilt call them out after thyself, and that they will know that God is calling them unto salvation. We pray, O Lord, this morning, you will give us that fresh wonder and awe as the people of God, that God became man and dwelt amongst us, that God laid aside the splendor of heaven, came into this world to be our Savior. O Lord, we pray, we'll gaze afresh at the manger. We'll gaze afresh at that scene on Bethlehem's hill. And Lord, we'll fall down on our knees and we'll worship thee. We pray, O God, that thou wilt draw us closer to thee this morning. We pray as we see Christ, our hearts will be revived. And we pray, Lord, this morning thou wilt lead us in thy truth. Lord, I pray you'll empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy Spirit, I pray. And help me, Lord, to honor thee through the proclamation of thy word. I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We read a few verses out of the book of Micah. That was one of many of the prophecies of the Old Testament that foretold the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, we have the record of how the providence of God ordered that birth so that every scripture was fulfilled, so that Mary and Joseph would be found in Bethlehem, the very place that God had ordained this child to be. In verses 1 to 3, we have God's method of relocating Mary and Joseph to this chosen place. We have Caesar Augustus, an ungodly man, and yet used by God. A man who had no time for God, a man who thought he was in control, but he was simply fulfilling what God had already ordained. The act of causing the Jews to be brought back to their place of birth, to be brought under the system of tax, was an act of oppression in many ways. This act was to say, stop thinking of yourselves as the people of God and start thinking of yourselves as the people of Rome. You're under a new authority, and we're going to make sure you know about it as we take your earnings, as we tax you for living in this country. They were being registered so that nobody would miss out on paying that tax. Yet in this event, we can see God's hand moving and working out his own heavenly purpose. I suppose at that time, many people thought, what's going on? What's the point? And yet God's hand was moving. Then we come to the events of Luke chapter 2 and verses 4 to 7. And here God is also working in Bethlehem as a little child is born into this world, this little baby. And then when we come from verses 8 through 20, God is working outside Bethlehem on the hillside as he speaks to a group of shepherds, those men who were so despised by people of that day. You know, the shepherds were of such low rank in Israel that they were not permitted to give testimony in a court of law. John Calvin says that they were persons of humble rank and of no account among men. Nobody was interested in the life of a shepherd. In the eyes of the world, they were the foolish. And yet, isn't it interesting that God chose the foolish things of the world to reveal his precious Son, to reveal the Savior first of all? You see, many people take great account of how they stand in society. And in many ways, when we come to the gospel, all those things are swept aside. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter if you're praised or cursed upon this earth. All that matters is how you stand before God. And God reveals to all the plan of salvation here in this passage. And oh, the mercy of God. He took the outcasts of society and he brought them into the greatest privilege that man can know. And yet in this account of Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through to verse 20, we have three sets of spoken dialogue that were recorded at the time of Christ's birth in Bethlehem. It's very interesting, whenever you read the accounts again, there's actually not very much spoken dialogue recorded in this passage. Much of this birth is veiled in mystery that we were not supposed to understand. But God reveals what we need to know. And I want us to look this morning at the words that were spoken at the time of Christ's birth. Three sets of dialogue. The first one is found in verses 10, 11, and 12. And it was an angel who brought a revelation from heaven. An angel who brought a revelation from heaven. And it says, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now the message that the angel brought was indeed a gospel message. Gospel meaning good news. And therefore it's no surprise that the message was all about Christ. You see, the gospel is Christ. Christ is the gospel. The word angel simply means messenger. And it's interesting to note that the very first time an angel is mentioned in Scripture by that very term, angel or messenger, is in Genesis chapter 16 and verse number 7. And it's at that time whenever Hagar has run away from Sarah and Abraham, and it tells us there in verse number 7 that the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness and by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress. And it's interesting here to find that as that angel spoke, there were words of instruction. Said there, verse number 9, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. There are also words of promise in verse number 10. I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. There were words of revelation. Verse number 11. Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And you will notice there in verse number 10 that it was the angel said, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. No, of course, only the Lord could do that. So the angel of the Lord here was, in fact, the Lord himself. This was an appearance of Christ before his birth in Bethlehem, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, a Christophany or Theophany, as it's often called in theology. But here we find that the revelation from heaven was given by another angel here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And there were three thoughts here that the angel brings before the shepherds. The first one is this: there is good news for all people. Look at verse number 10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Fear not. Fear not was used every time the angel appeared in this passage of Scripture. When the angel appeared, Zacharias said, fear not. When the angel appeared to Mary, it said, fear not. And whenever the angel appeared here to the shepherds, he said, fear not. Why? Because there was fear for the unknown, for the supernatural was occurring at this particular time. And you know, there is no need to fear whenever God is dealing with his people and when God is speaking through his people through his revelation. And we find that God is speaking through this angel, and the message is, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. And that word, good tidings, the word tidings literally means message. It's really another form of the word angel, and it means message from a messenger. It can also be translated news. And therefore, it means good news, a good message, or good tidings. And from that word, we get our English words, evangel, evangelistic, and evangelical. And therefore, what he was saying, I'm bringing you good news. Literally, I'm bringing you gospel. I am bringing you something that is to be declared, something that is to be preached, something that is to be brought before people, something that is to be shown to others. That is what was brought that night. And what were they bringing? They were bringing the person of Christ, the revelation of God to earth, God dwelling among us, flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. And can I say that word, I bring you good tidings, which means something that is to be declared and published and preached. Only something from God is worthy to be declared. Only something from God is worthy to be preached and brought before people as a means or a hope of salvation. Sometimes people stand before congregations, or they stand before others, they counsel individually, and they look them in the eye. And friend, it's not the gospel that they bring before them. It's not the good news. It's not the evangelical truth that there is a Savior born into this world to save you from your sin. It's some other nonsense that they have either made up or they've got from somewhere else, an anecdote or something that they think will please those whom they hear. The only thing that is worthy for the preacher to bring before you this morning, the only thing that's worthy for you to bring before your family this morning, the only thing that's worthy for you to bring before your friends this morning that you need to see saved is something from the Lord, a message from God, a message from the Word. And what does that result in? What does the gospel result in? Well, it's good tidings of great joy. That's the end of the gospel. The end of the gospel is that sinners on their way to hell are so transformed that they rejoice in the gospel and the God and the Christ of the gospel. And see those words, great joy, it's one word, it means a calm delight and great gladness. Friend, that's what God's people have this morning. They have a calm delight in a world that seems so crazy, in a world that seems so wicked. The child of God has a calm delight in their soul this morning because the good news of the gospel is for them and has been received by them and is enjoyed by them and experienced by them. There's a gladness in our hearts this morning. Are you not glad you're saved? Child of God, are you not glad you're saved and sitting in God's house? You're not nursing a hangover this morning? Not regretting a week of sin? You're not sitting here thinking what you're going to do today, but you've come to God's house to seek the one who created you and loved you and gave himself for you. Oh, there ought to be gladness in your heart this morning. But notice also what it says in this good news for all people. It says at the very end of the verse, which shall be to all people. This is for whoever, whosoever. This message of the gospel is for everyone today. It's to be proclaimed throughout the world. Isn't it interesting? At Christ's birth, it's to be proclaimed to all people. After his death and resurrection, it was to be proclaimed to all people. The gospel is for all. Why? Because he is the only source of good news and great joy. He's the only means of salvation. And whoever you are this morning in this congregation, you need the gospel. You need Christ. You need to be saved by this little baby that was born in Bethlehem and grew up to be the savior of the world. And here's the first thought that the angels bring. There's good news for all people. Second thought is in verse number 11, that the savior promised from God is among you today. Look at verse number 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you. Isn't that very interesting? It didn't say unto Mary. It didn't even say unto Mary and Joseph, which you would understand because that's the family that Christ was born into. But oh no, the birth of Christ was more than for just that family. The birth of Christ was unto all, unto the sinner, unto the shepherds in the field, unto the king upon the throne, unto those who sit in this church this morning, unto you is born this day a Savior. You see, it was a personal gift from heaven. It was unto you. It was a present gift from heaven because it was this day. It was a precious gift from heaven because it was Christ the Savior. Now, as I was reading some commentaries on this passage, one of the Bible commentators said that whenever that title, a Savior, was given to the shepherds in Bethlehem, while that sounds common to us and while that sounds normal to us, to them in that time, that would not have been a normal thing. In fact, the very use of that word Savior would have had connotations of someone like a Roman emperor. Someone who was a great leader, because the word means a deliverer. So it's the thought of an army general or one who would lead the people who needed to be delivered. We understand what it means. He would save us or deliver us from our sins. And maybe their very first thought was, well, we need to be delivered from the circumstances we're under, from the Roman rule that we're under, from the oppression of the government that we are under. We need to be delivered. But what the Lord was saying, that the Savior was a Savior who would deliver from sin. We know that because an angel had said to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And you know, maybe you're to hear this morning in this meeting, and you've often thought, well, I need deliverance. Or I need salvation. I need to be saved from the circumstances. I need to be delivered from the circumstances of life. Maybe financial, maybe emotional, maybe work-related, maybe school-related. And if I was delivered from those circumstances, well, then everything in my life would be great. Whatever the circumstances of your life this morning, the one thing you do need to be delivered from is your sin. That's the most important deliverance you need. That's the most important salvation. You see, you can be delivered from life's difficulties and circumstances and have a very pleasant life, humanly speaking, but if you're not delivered from your sin, the end is hell. Friend, this morning, you do need a Savior. And there's only one Savior, because it says here, this Savior is Christ the Lord, Christ meaning the Messiah, the promised one, the Lord literally meaning the one who is supreme in authority, the one who is controller of all, the one who is master. And it's only the one who's in control of all things, the one who's supreme, the one who created you, the one who gave you life. He's the only one who can save you. I pray you're trusting in Christ this morning. I pray that he is your hope of heaven, your hope of peace with God, your confidence, your assurance. You see, the angel said in verse number 10, there's good news for all people. Verse number 11, the Savior promised from God is among you today. Friends, so he is. Today, God is among us. Where two or three gather together in his name, he is in the midst. He's here today. Where his word is opened, he's here. Where his praise is lifted, he's here. Friend, he's here today. But the third thing that the angel said was in verse number 12. What the angel said is the Savior can be found and known today. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You see, the sign meant the indicator or the wonder or the token or the miracle that was presented before you. This would be it. And what was that miracle? What was that wonder or indication that God had met with man? Well, it says, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This was where you would find the child. If you look at verse number 7, it says, she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. Look at verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. This was the sign. This was what set the Lord apart. And friend, we have the sign from God today. Yes, he's lying in a manger, but we have a greater sign than that. We have the book of God in our hands. We have the living word. This is a sign. This is a wonder. This is a miracle, because this is the living, eternal word of God that man has tried to burn and man has tried to eradicate off the face of the earth, but it's still here today. Still changing lives, still changing nations today. It's still reviving those out of the deadness of their sin into new life in Christ. It's still giving people a cause. It's still giving people the power to stand against wickedness and persecution and opposition. We have a greater sign today. We have the finished, complete revelation of God. We have the Word of God. This is the sign. This is the sign unto you, the wonder of God, because he is presented before you in written form today. But notice what it says. Ye shall find. Find. And for someone to find something, you know what they have to do? They have to look. Or they have to seek. Or they have to search. And I believe in the providence of God. And I believe that God ordains man and woman to be saved. But you read the scripture, you'll find that God calls man and woman to seek him. And God calls man and woman to search for him. And God calls you this morning to seek him while he may be found, and to call upon him while he is near. And you'll find several times throughout Scripture that you are compelled to seek for the Lord and to search for the Lord and to find the Lord. And I'm just going to read you a couple of verses this morning that tell us about that. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 22, it says, "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." And that's speaking about the words of God. And of course, it's speaking, of course, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." And of course, that's presenting truth, it's presenting wisdom, it's presenting Christ. And they that find the words of God, they find life. And friend, that's what you need this morning. You need to search for eternal life. You'll find in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 35, it says, "Whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor from the Lord." Whoso findeth me, and that's speaking about wisdom. And of course, wisdom could be translated in the book of the Proverbs. You take everywhere you read the word wisdom, you find Christ, because it's speaking of Christ. "And blessed is the man that heareth Christ, watching daily at his gates, waiting at the post of his doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor from the Lord." Book of Jeremiah, we have very familiar words, because in Jeremiah 29, we often quote the words, Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." But let's read on a little further. "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto me, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord." And the Lord tells the people to go and to pray unto him, and he will listen. And as they're seeking in prayer, he will hear. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find." And that's what the Word of God tells us, that there is a way to seek God. There is a way to be right with God. And here you are in God's house this morning, one of multitude of times throughout your lives, and you've never sought the Lord. You've never looked after the things of God. You've never diligently sought out what it means to be a child of God. What's the message from heaven this morning? Well, I believe there's good news for you. I believe the Savior promised from God is among you today, and that that Savior can be found today and known today. But secondly, not only did the angels speak at the time of Christ's birth, but we find that in verse number 13, suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying. Where there was one messenger, now a multitude of the heavenly host come. More angels, cherubim, seraphim, they come from heaven. And I want to look at what they said this morning. Well, first of all, what were they doing? Look at verse 13. It says they were praising God and they were saying. It's interesting whenever we look into the background of the word praising. It comes from a word meaning to tell a story. So, in other words, their praise was based upon something that had happened. That's very interesting. Because that shows us how we ought to channel our praise. Our praise ought to be the story of what Christ has done for us and what Christ is doing for us and what he has promised to do for us. In other words, as they sang, they told what Christ had done in their praises. And how wonderful it is whenever someone is able to stand and sing, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. That's praise, because that is telling others what God has done for you. My sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Do you understand that as you sing in God's house, in the hymns, as we open the service and throughout the service, we're not just passing the time, we're not just doing something that people enjoy, but we're taking what God has done for us and we're proclaiming what God has done to those around us, but we're praising the Lord for what he has done as we sing and as we praise. Look upon praise and singing and worship as a very high honor, something that is to be taken seriously, that our mind is to be engaged in. Something we ought to do with great joy, because it tells us what the Lord has done and reminds us of what God has done. How often we need to be reminded. How often we need to sing about the old rugged cross. How often we need to sing, Thine be the glory, risen, conquering song. How often we need to sing, Yes, he cares, I know he cares. What a wonderful thing to praise the Lord. But not only were they praising the Lord, but notice it says there, they were praising God and saying. And that word saying means to lay forth or to utter or to tell. In other words, heaven's rejoicing was telling forth about God. Well, whom were they praising? Well, it says there in verse 14, glory to God. Here we have man admitted into the praise service of heaven. And you know who receives all the glory through the praise? It's God. To God be the glory. Man is not exalted here. Man's blessings are highlighted. Man's mercy is seen in that God has been merciful toward him. But God is given all the glory. And there's a note to ourselves and our praise and in our worship. It ought to be to God. It ought to be for God. It ought to be about God. That word glory means praise and honor and worship. Glory to God. Why did they praise God? Why did the host of heaven praise God? Well, I believe that what they did here upon the earth was a revelation of what they always do in heaven. There's eternal praise to the eternal God. And I believe this is what they did before Christ was born. I believe this is what they're doing still today. And we will join in the song when we get there. But I believe what happened was heaven was so glad and filled with such rejoicing that the doors were opened and the praise flowed out. And here we find they were praising. Why did they praise God? Because they knew God. They knew God. And you see, when somebody knows God, they'll praise him. How do I know that? We'll turn to verse 20. Because the shepherds returned after they had seen the Savior, glorifying and praising God. Why? For all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. They saw the Savior. They saw Christ. They knew God. And here is the reality of being a Christian. Here's the reality of being saved. Glory is given to God and praise is given to God. When you hear some Christians sometimes, and the words that come out of their mouth, and the things that come out of their lips, you really do wonder, have they been changed at all? When a Christian just continually says, well, am I allowed to do this, or am I not supposed to do that, or do I have to do this, or do I have to go to church, do I have to go to prayer meeting? Am I really not allowed to go there? Am I really not allowed to watch that, or am I really not allowed to do that? And you just wonder yourself, where's the praise? Where's the glory over the fact that their soul has been saved from hell? Where's the rejoicing that the Lord has saved them to free them from the tarnish and the bondage of sin? Where's the praise? Instead, they seem to be complaining more than glorifying. You see, it's a mark of a child of God that they're praising the Lord, but it's a mark of a child of God that they're praising the Lord because they've been in the presence of God. And could it be that my praise or your praise this morning is not forthcoming the way it ought to be because it's been some time from what we've done, from us having done what the shepherds did that night, from fleeing to Christ, from making haste and going to Christ, from gazing upon his face, from hearing the voice of God, from being in the presence of God? Because I tell you, you see, when you're in the presence of God, there is no other result possible. If you're truly in the presence of God, there's no other outcome possible. Then you will glorify God and you will praise him from your heart. Let me ask you a question, child of God. When was the last time you truly glorified God within your heart? When was the last time you truly praised him with your lips? When was the last time the joy of the Lord just overwhelmed you? Maybe sitting at work. Maybe putting children to bed. Maybe coming to the house of God. And you just lifted your heart and said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the blessings you've given to me. Thank thee, Lord, for what you have planned for me. Thank you, Lord, for what I'm enjoying, even here in the house of God. When was the last time your voice and your heart were just lifted in praise? And here we find a little snippet of the eternal song, Glory to God in the highest. What were they declaring? Well, they were declaring the glory of God. Their praise was ascending to heaven. They were declaring that God was blessing the earth, that God's kindness was coming from above into this earth, because it says, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You see, God's praise was associated with the work of his providing a Savior and prospering his people. We sing about God's peace. We sing about God's mercy, God's love, God's goodwill to his people. See that word peace, peace on earth. That word peace means to be set at one again. To be set at one again. And that's exactly what the sinner needs. Yes, mankind was born into this world through Adam and Eve. And in Adam and Eve, as they were created perfectly. But they fell. They fell in sin. And every single one born from Adam and Eve is born in a fallen state. And they need to be set at one again with God. They need to be set at one again. They need to be saved. They need to be brought into a proper relationship with God. That word peace also means prosperity, a spiritual prosperity. So there is prosperity coming to earth. We're to be set at one again. And that's only through Christ. That can only be done through Christ. And therefore, here we have the gospel again. But it says goodwill toward men. And that word, or the words goodwill, it means satisfaction, delight, and kindness. And here is a wonderful message of the gospel. You might have been the most wicked, vile, heinous sinner that's ever lived in this country. But do you know something? That through Christ, there can be satisfaction. As God looks upon you, he can be satisfied. As God looks upon you, he can be delighted. As God looks upon you, he can look kindly when he looks through Christ. And that's the goodwill. Some people take this verse and they'll quote it and you listen very carefully. As it comes to Christmas, And so-called religious leaders will take this verse and say, peace on earth. May we be friends with one another. No more wars, no more strife. Friend, that is not what that's talking about. It's talking about peace between God and man. Peace between God and man. You read the Bible, there isn't going to be peace on earth before the Lord comes again. But thank God, within your heart, there can be peace between you and God. That's what this verse is saying. Peace on earth to you, goodwill toward men. And here we have the greatest goodwill ever known toward men. Often we hear people saying, we need to do this, we need to do that, it's for our good. We need to change the law, it's for our good and for the good of the people and for the good of the country. Could be loosely translated, well, this is just what I want to do, so it's for my good. Only God's work is good for the soul of man. Only the giving of Christ as a baby, as a savior, upon the cross, as a redeemer. Only God's work is good for the soul of man. Only God's work saves man. Only God's work satisfies man. Only God's work prepares us for death. And only God's work gives us a purpose for living. And here's what the Lord says. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. You'll never have more love or kindness. You'll never know more mercy than you know in this verse, because God is saying, I've given you a Savior. He will give you peace between heaven and your soul, and will bless you with satisfaction, delight, and heavenly kindness. The final message or words were spoken are spoken by the shepherds. And it came to pass, verse 15, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, and here's the words, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. These words spoken. Did you notice? And I have to say, I've read this obviously many, many years, but this is the first time this year that the Lord has revealed this little thing unto me. They realized that it was the Lord speaking to them. Look what it says. This thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. It was the angels speaking, but the shepherds realized that it was God speaking to them through the messenger. Do you know God can speak in many ways? God can speak in many ways and through many messengers. He can speak through his word as you read it. He can speak through the preacher as he preaches, or a Sunday school teacher. God can speak very loudly through sickness or through death. God can speak through blessings and through poverty. He can speak through your conscience. He can speak through earthquakes. He can speak through friends and family who are saved. He can speak through music, the hymns, the songs of God's people. He can speak through the stillness and the silence. Maybe you're in this meeting and God has been speaking to you. God has been speaking to you. Listen, if you're in this meeting, I have no doubt God has been speaking to you. You know the gospel. Friend, that's God speaking to you. You went to a Sunday school where your teacher was saved. That's God speaking to you. You family members who love your soul, they go to the prayer meeting and they pray for you. That's God speaking to you. You've known sickness in your body. That's God speaking to you. You've known the death of a loved one. And friend, that's God speaking to you, and yet you've ignored the speaking voice of God. You sat on the hillside, haven't gone with the shepherds. Because not only did they realize that the Lord was speaking to them, notice the immediate response, because it says in verse number 16, they came with haste. Friend, they didn't just obey God's word, but they obeyed God's word immediately, quickly. They used the gospel timeline. And you know what the gospel timeline is? Now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. When's the best time to come? When's the best time to respond to Christ? When's the best time to respond when God is speaking to your soul? It's right now. Right here. Right now. Notice they had a desire to know and see what they'd heard about, for it says, let us now go even on to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And you see that word see, it says, it means to consider, to be sure, and to understand. They wanted to be sure that this was the Saviour, that what God had said was true, and the only way to do it was to step out in faith and to go and find what God had provided and God had revealed. They wanted to understand more, and therefore they followed the direction of heaven. You see, they followed the direction that heaven pointed them into. They followed the direction that heaven revealed. And you know what they did in following that direction? They found Christ. And friend, the message is still the same today. There's no other way. There was one way for them to find the Savior that night, and that was to follow the message of heaven. And for you and for me, there's only one way to find the Savior, and that is to follow the message of heaven, the book you have in your hand. It's to come to Christ. It's the only way to God. It's the only way of salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, these people were blessed in hearing the word. They were blessed in heeding the word. And they were blessed in finding the word. And maybe you've got so far as hearing, but you've never heeded the word and you've never found the word. Well, can I just say to you, you must understand that of all men upon this earth, if you know the word of God and you do not heed the word of God, friend, what a hell waits for you. Because there are many who have never heard. Many have never heard and have died in their sin, and yet you sit here knowing the truth and saying, no, Lord. Not for me. No Savior for me. No salvation for me. I'll just continue on in my sin, going to hell with the gospel ringing in my ears. What we find was these men left with a testimony. Verse 16, it says, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And then 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And then verse 20, they were praised, glorified God. And they praised God. You see, they had a testimony. They had a message to tell. The message was Christ. And they had a song in their heart. Friend, what do you have today? If you're saved, then thank God you have a testimony. There was a night you two ran to find Christ. And you can glorify God, you can praise God, saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. But if you're not saved tonight, then know all you have. All you have tonight is a record, or this morning, all you have is a record of your sin. That's all you have. The condemnation of God upon your shoulder. All you have is a place reserved for you in hell. Yep. Leaving God's house and going to hell with the gospel ringing in your ears. I urge you this morning, if you're not saved, where you are in that seat by your head, call on the Lord to save you. Make haste with those shepherds around to the Savior. Let's pray. If anybody would like to speak to us after the service, Reverend McCrae and myself are available. We'd love to point you to the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friend, don't leave without the Savior, but make this the best Christmas you've ever had. Come to Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege of bowing in thy presence today. Thank thee, Lord, for going to that sacred scene where the windows of heaven were opened, the praise of heaven poured forth upon the earth. Thank you. It was a message of joy, message of hope, message of salvation. Thank God that message is still ringing loud and clear today. Oh God, give people ears to hear, hearts that will surrender, and feet that will run to the Savior. Oh Lord, I pray that not one in this meeting will leave this scene of time without preparing to meet God. But, O Lord, I pray you'll take words that have been said this morning in human weakness, and by thy Spirit apply them right into the very depths of the heart. And, Lord, that thou wilt speak this morning with a voice that wakes the dead, make sinners hear. Lord, we thank thee for God's people this morning. Oh, how we praise thee, precious Saviour, that thy love has laid hold of us. Oh, Lord, grant it this morning that others will join that number. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.